हरिः ॐ सहना भवतु सहना भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 42. As he passed his time, which lasted 71 cycles of the four ages, 71 times 4,320,000 years, always thinking of Vasudeva, and always engaged in matters regarding Vasudeva, thus he transcended the three destinations. Therefore, O Vidura, how can persons completely under the shelter of Lord Krishna in devotional service be put into miseries pertaining to the body, the mind, nature, and other men and living creatures? In reply to two questions asked by certain sages, he, Swayambhuva Manu, out of compassion for all living entities, taught the diverse sacred duties of men in general and the different varnas and ashrams. Footnote 8. Swayambhuva Manu is the author of Manu Samhita, the law book for mankind. I have spoken to you of the wonderful character of Swayambhuva Manu, the original king, whose reputation is worthy of description. Please hear as I speak of the flourishing of his daughter, Devahuti. 36 to 39. Yes, so conclusion of this chapter then, if one is engaged in the Lord's service, hearing and chanting about the Lord, then the effect of the material energy, the three kleshas, you know, from body, mind, and from other living entities, nature, all these things don't affect you. Doesn't mean they don't happen, but it doesn't bother you. Does that make sense? Because that's the most important thing. It's not important whether it happens or not. It's important whether it affects you or not. Because that's the real thing. Right? We put too much on the external. If this happens, then because we make it an idea that whatever is the situation, we define situations by what we say that will make us happy. But it's not the situation that makes us happy. It's our perspective on that situation. Does that make sense? That's the whole thing. If our perspective, in one situation, somebody's perspective, that's a nice situation. Someone else's perspective, it's not a nice situation. Right? So that's the whole thing. It's not about the situation. So our endeavor to create a situation is because we say that situation will make us happy. That's why the Vedas talk about satisfaction. You're already happy. So it's not dependent upon the situation. Does that make sense? So whatever the situation as it adjusts, you are satisfied. Then it works very nicely. Right? That's the idea. Yes?
Just because we practice, or during in process of practice of devotional service, our senses become purified, and then we become actually more sensitive, and then we find ourselves in a situation sometimes it actually bothers us more than even before. Because before, We didn't see so many things. We were not connected with the culture or anything. But now we understand how the process is working. So actually, it gives us more anxiety than previously.
Well, you're just becoming aware of how much anxiety you were in before, but didn't know you were in anxiety. You just thought that was normal. You know? You know, so it's like kids, they're sitting there, their nose is running, you know, there's something there, you know, they're itching, they're this. They don't notice it, they're just having a great time. You know, but as you become more sensitive, you notice these things are a problem. Right? So if you keep going, then it'll come where it won't be a problem anymore.
So this is like a medium ground.
Yes, intermediate. Yeah. But it just means there's more refinement and things like that. But it also means you're more aware, but there's a good chance also is you're being bothered, but it's on a much smaller level. Before, we're doing things that are actually much more disturbing. But because of the motive, passion, ignorance, we don't see it. And then as we develop and purify ourselves, you know, refine the lifestyle and all that, we're seeing these disturbances, yes. But actually these disturbances are very small compared to previously. You know what I'm saying?
So can we say we're not disturbed by principles, but we're disturbed by details?
Yes, you could, yeah. It means it's the detail that you're going to perceive. That's what's going to come in contact with the senses. The principle behind it, let's say, like the material world is a place of misery, that's going to, that's why. But then you have a specific reason, what you would call misery. You know what I'm saying? You know, like that. Someone is in the, you know, on the airplane. Right? And they're cramped in their seat and they're complaining that this is so. But then someone else is in ecstasy because they're flying rather than having to take the bus. You know? You know, so, you know. You know, so it works like that. You know? So that's the whole thing, is that the principle is the material world is designed to bother you no matter how developed you are, how gross you are, how developed you are. Right? It's always going to be a problem. You know, it's just like the one pig is annoyed because the other pig's in the same, you know, mud puddle. He's not bothered about the mud. You understand?
Yeah.
So that's the whole thing, is that you will be bothered, but if you're Krishna conscious, it doesn't affect you. It's not that you can't perceive that there's things to bother you, but it doesn't affect you. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's not even just we don't notice it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like the Amar Chitra Katha where in great ecstasy and all that, Ekalavya is cutting off his thumb. And, you know, it's just, you know, these it's not that we don't see, it's that it doesn't bother you.
Yes.
So being able to perceive that these are difficult or these are problems or things like that, that's not an anxiety. It's just a matter of, with time, then that won't affect. Not at least personally. It may affect on a... Because even you get to the more refined level, it's like in Brahma Loka, they get affected not themselves personally, but by all the suffering of everybody else in the universe. Right? Yeah. You know, so therefore sometimes they come down, they preach, they do these different things. So that's the thing, is that should be an impetus to preach. You know, at least you notice that it's a place of suffering. The others think it's great. You know, it's party time. You know, like that. They don't know that it's not a nice place.
Mm-hmm.
Is that?
Yeah.
Yes.
From Ajahn, perspective is linked to consciousness.
Yes, it's all about consciousness. Because the body, the mind, the intelligence, these are all dead matter. So we're looking at it that if I adjust the dead matter, then I will be happy. No, you adjust the consciousness, you'll be happy. Because dead matter can't make the soul who's conscious happy. Consciousness can only be happy from consciousness. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like money gets money. Good behavior gets good behavior. You know, you put your effort into your homework, you get, you know, you do well in knowledge. You know what I'm saying? It's not that I go into the kitchen and I mix myself a nice drink and I get great knowledge or something. You know? Does that make sense? You know, so, you know, how you say the butterfly effect, you know, the butterfly flaps its wings and there's the, what do you call it, tsunami in Japan. So I stir my drink and my bank balance is just increasing by millions, you know, like that. That'd be cool, you know.
Yeah.
We told you every stir you get $1 million, you know, you'd be there all day.
You become the blender.
set up a machine that just stirs all day. You know, is that, yeah. So the whole point is consciousness then is will give results on the platform of consciousness. You know what I'm saying? So these others are only ways to help the consciousness. You know, so it's like, if I put myself in a situation of goodness, there's more chance I'm going to, let's say, get out the Krishna book and read it than if I'm in passion and ignorance. Right? So that's why the mode of goodness is recommended. Not because the mode of goodness is a goal, but because the mode of goodness is a better situation. Because, you know what I'm saying? So we're affected by the situations. So therefore we put the best. For in the spiritual world, it's because it's about Krishna, so therefore you endeavor to make the best situations to please Krishna. But here we're making the best situation what we think will please ourselves. But they can't because we're consciousness. We're not the body, mind, and intelligence. Right? Does that make sense? So that's why it's reversed. Why things are done here and why things are done there are opposite. Same things are done. But the effect is one gives eternal happiness and the other one always gives problem. Does that make sense?
Yeah, when you say consciousness, you say Krishna consciousness, but we cannot be Krishna conscious if we are not first conscious.
Yes, but that means is we are conscious, but therefore we have to focus our consciousness on things that are valuable. Right? Unless we are aware of what we are, the environment we're in, what we're doing, then we can be Krishna conscious. You know what I'm saying? But it's still by Krishna's grace that we're Krishna conscious. But we have to want to be conscious. We have to be trying to be conscious.
So just the concept of being conscious and Krishna conscious, that automatically puts you in the present moment.
Yeah, if you're conscious, you're in the present.
You're not in the future. You can think about it.
It means you can think about it, but then you're not conscious of what's around you. If you're thinking of the past or future, you're not actually thinking of the present. You know?
Yeah.
So the past and the future are only of value if you see them in context of the present.
Yeah.
Right? It means what lesson from the past can I learn to apply to the present so that I get a better result in the future? Then that has some validity.
Yes. But a lot of people are always projecting their happiness in the future if I do this or that, but then they're not present, they're not conscious.
No, but it generates because they're thinking it means, in other words, if they can think about a situation that would be nice, just that thinking about it makes them happy.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is they don't actually have it.
Yeah.
Right?
They don't know if they don't know, they're going to get it as well.
Yeah, that's another thing. But even if you take that and you connect that to Krishna consciousness, then there's some value. They move forward, they advance, because they're desiring to serve Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. So it's there, but still, you do have to be dealing in the present to get it. So at some point it'll work out.
Mm-hmm. Yes?
Right. So we are talking about goodness. So we are trying to be in goodness, not related to Krishna.
It means we have to be, the only point of goodness is its use in relation to Krishna. Otherwise, goodness is just, it's like Prabhupada says, it's like being in jail, but they have you in gold handcuffs instead of in iron ones. That's all. It's not that it's better. You know, it's like you have these white collar prisoners. It kind of looks like they're in a high school, right? The prison looks like a high school, you know? You know, complete with the grounds and the basketball court and, you know, the places to sit and everything like that. But it's still prison. They can't go out. They can't go anywhere. Does that make sense? Then you have the high security prison. That's, you know, not as nice. But the point is you're in prison. So even if you're in goodness, you're still in prison. You're in the material world. So goodness, endeavoring for goodness separately from service to Krishna won't be of any value. That's one. And two, in this age, how many people goodness is a natural ability? Yeah, so therefore, even you try to endeavor for it, generally it'll be about the situation rather about the consciousness. You know what I'm saying? So even if one's sadhana is very good, one will be critical of everyone else because, you know, and thinking yourself superior because your sadhana is better. So that's still a mode of ignorance.
That is a mode of ignorance.
Yeah. You understand? The situation may be goodness, but the consciousness is still ignorance. So the point is to affect the consciousness, not the situation. But we're trained that the situation is the all in all. But it's actually the consciousness. That's why it's the highest form of Atma. The lowest is the physical, the situation. Next is the emotional.
There must be change in the heart, not in the heart.
The point you're trying to affect a change in the heart. So it's not that you don't use the externals to get it. But just like, let's say, for example, why do you eat?
Taste good?
Okay. So then the point is okay, it's tasting good. So, but unless you eat, how do you get the taste? You understand? But the eating is about getting the taste. You understand? So the point is you have to be Krishna conscious, but it's not, oh, we just have to change the heart. It's not about this, about the activity, but the point is you have to do the activity to get the change of heart. You know what I'm saying? Just like, let's say you want to drink a glass of water. What's it about, the glass or the water?
Water.
But do you need the glass? Without the glass, how do you drink the water? But it's not about the glass. So that's the thing, is we say, it's about this. You know what I'm saying? But like in the modern context, it's like, you know, money is the highest thing, because without money you can't do anything. But then what's the point of the money? So money is only a medium, they're taking it as a goal. It's a, what do you do with the money? That's what's of value. Have money and do nothing with it, what does that mean? Is that what's up? You're still poor, yes. So that's the whole thing, is that the two go together, but you have to know which is the prominent, which is primary and which is secondary. That's the thing, is we tend to look at the secondary and miss the whole point of the primary. What is what in the mode of goodness? Let's have some English here. This is an English medium class. You know the English? What's the translation? So then, what's the... What, so you understand?
Whatever austerities we are doing, which is not...
You understand the point? Chanting the Sanskrit, that's first class, because you should be able to give... But you should know what it means.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, well, that's what I said. So you said the shloka, but now so many words are there. Which one do you want to pick out? Here, we're picking out words from these sentences. So which one are you trying to bring out?
So, what are the qualities of tapasas we are doing? If it's not related to Krishna, what is the gain?
Of course.
That's what...
Yes, that's what we're discussing. Yes, that's the
goodness.
Point.
Goodness is also in that.
Anything other than pure devotional service is in that category. If it's not pure devotional service, it's not a goal. You understand? It's only something in pursuance of the goal, which is pure devotional service. Like that. So that's where all other things are external. But that's how you express the principal point. My goal is expressed through the external. Through the situation, through the endeavor I make. That's how I get a goal. So that's why sambandha, abhideya, prayojana, they all go together. You can't separate them. There's no meaning of relationship unless the relationship accomplishes something. There's no meaning of activity if it doesn't accomplish something. You can't perform an activity without a situation. The goal is only obtained by action in a situation. They're all non-different, but they're different. So that's what it's about. You have to go to that depth. Otherwise, the external is only important in as much as it generates the proper consciousness. If it doesn't generate the proper consciousness, what's the point?
So that if we already have right consciousness.
If we already have the right consciousness.
Yeah, so it is it's still necessary to do something.
Yes. Because otherwise, how do you express that consciousness? How do you see the consciousness? What's the point? Are we just supposed to exist in that state of consciousness? Or are we supposed to express that consciousness to Krishna?
Like we're just in meditation. Right?
Yes, that's tapaloka. And then? Is it about going back to Godhead, or is it just about existing in the state of consciousness?
Plus we go back to Godhead.
Yeah, so what are you going to do when you go back to Godhead?
Means,
you know, in the morning everyone's excited and all that, you know, Krishna's finished his breakfast and all the cowherd boys and the cows are all getting together and that, Mother Yashoda's coming out and feeling very sad, and Balaram is telling her that don't worry, we'll all take care and protect Krishna and all this and that, and then they happily go out into the field, the trees alive and the birds all, you know, come and follow and all the animals, and then when they get out to the middle of the forest and no one else is there, then they all sit down in meditation and just exist in the state of consciousness.
It's just a singing what happened.
Huh?
Singing the lila. The consciousness of the lila.
Conscious of the Leela.
Yeah.
Okay, but conscious of the Leela. But who's in the Leela?
Krishna and
the... Yeah, and so why, if just meditating on that's the highest, then why are they doing something? Right? If that was it, then they'd all just be sitting around in meditation. You wouldn't need to manifest the Dham or anything like that. It's called Krishna's Atmarama. Right? But we have to remember, we're not the masculine, we're the feminine. Yes, you must do something. You know what I'm saying? You know, even your best Confucius, the sage, he's walking around. And the amazing thing is he's got one of those large, very long, white, I think, willow poles with a spear on the end. And even though he's absorbed in his meditation, if somebody gets too close, then his spear takes care of things. No?
Yeah.
Yeah, so then nobody's doing nothing. You understand? So the point is by nature, are active. You exist. You're active, that activity generates results. You can't get away from it.
This means this is our constitutional position.
Yes, that's the nature. So in other words, Buddhism is not our constitutional position. Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay, so Mana out of compassion. So it's not that just he's the manager, so he's making everybody do whatever he says. It's out of compassion. Why compassion? Because by following these things, that's what's going to make things work nice. Right? You want things to go well, you manage it, but it's about managing it so that people's lives go nice. It's about people's lives. Right? The Vedic culture is about each individual becoming God-realized. So you have to organize it so every individual becomes God-realized. It's not about the organization. It's not, we sacrifice all the people for the state. No, it's about the people. But the point is you can't protect the people unless the state is strong. You know, it's just like this. The parent, can they take care of the kid if they're sick?
No.
Right? So The parents, seeing that they're in good health, is so they can take care of the kids. You understand? But for the parent to be in good health, it's not that you neglect the kid. You understand? So that's how it works. Right? So the governance is there to see that each individual is able to perform their duties. That means the government has to be strong. It has to be effective. So does that make sense? Yes.
So to be effective in the preaching, we have to be on a higher level of consciousness. Otherwise...
Yes. Yes, because if you're on the higher level of the consciousness, even if you're not so good organizationally, it will still be nice. People will be impressed by that. But if you do everything perfect, but the consciousness is not great, no one will be impressed. Does that make sense? You know, just like you may have had situations where you've had a preparation to eat. It looks fabulous. Everything is perfect. But then you taste it, there's no real taste. Right? And then sometimes you think, this is going to be a disaster. It's fabulous. Right? So the real point is the taste. Now, if it looks good and tastes good, now that's what you know, that's the best thing. And generally, if it's done right, if it looks proper, it tastes proper. But you can miss. So the same way is that the management, if it doesn't generate an environment in which the individual is progressing, right, then it's the management does not actually have any value. Just like you say, cooking, it has no taste, what's the point? You know? So that's the whole thing, is that the primary has to be obtained. So the point of the secondary, how expertly the secondary is performed, it gives that nice of a result in the primary. But fortunately, consciousness, since we are consciousness, is the easiest thing we can work with. You don't need any externals, technically, to work with, because it is ourself. Does that make sense? To cook, I need external things. But to be conscious, I don't. That's why it's of the two, if someone's a good manager or is Krishna conscious, take the Krishna consciousness. There's a good chance that most yatras in the world were opened and spread dynamically by people who could not manage, but were good preachers. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, we nowadays it's more focuses on the management and we don't see its dynamic. Now, if you can do both, then you have something very big. That's the problem. Because it's always, you know, what was it? When Achyutananda was riding back in the rickshaw with Prabhupada, because they were staying at Sridhar Maharaj's mat, but they were visiting Keshav Maharaj's mat. And so he pointed out that Sridhar Maharaj, he had, you know, very deep an understanding of the philosophy. But he has no, there's no machine, no preaching machine. It's just him sitting there in his chair and talking to whoever is willing to listen. But what he's talking is really good. Right? And but at the same time, Keshavji Gaudiya, then they had this amazing preaching machine. They had like 20 sannyasis, everyone's dressed the same color, all the brahmacharis, everyone's dancing. It's dynamic. Like that. And then Achyutananda's riding along with Prabhupada, because he's been going back and forth. They've been going back, you know, be at the one place, then go to the other, go back and forth. And so then, at one point, Achyutananda's riding in the rickshaw, and they're going back, and he mentioned these two points. And he says, from what I understand, you want both.
Yes.
Okay. So then Prabhupada said, yes, now you understand. So we want that deep Krishna consciousness in a very grand fashion. So it's not about the grand, it's not about just the consciousness, it's about the two together. But if you only have one, better the consciousness. But the problem is that's good for you, but it's not good for anybody else. So the grand, that's what includes everybody else. So that's why Jiva Goswami defines Goshti Anandi as a group of Bhajan Anandis. It means their own bhajan is very good. They get together to preach that bhajan. Is that what it says? Is that still working? Okay, so he's doing that out of his compassion, because he knows this is the only way it'll work. There is no other system. You can say all you want, come up with a million things, and then after a few years, then what do people say about your system?
It doesn't work.
It doesn't work. I remember I was talking to this one devotee who's totally into all these different things, and saying about this, you know, like that. You know, before it was this, now it's this thing. Says, oh, that's all, now it's this. You know? Each one still works today. There's people successful at each one of these systems that the other one says, oh, that doesn't work anymore. We've moved on to this. All it is my conditioning can't use that. My conditioning uses this. You know, that's like, you know, the guys in Europe saying, oh, you know, rice, that's an old thing. That doesn't work anymore. You know, now it's, you know, wheat. You know, and then you go, you know, to another direction and says, oh, that's wheat and rice. It's corn. You know? You know, have you ever tried to make a rice tortilla? You know? Or you eat your sweet and sour with a bowl of boiled wheat? You know? No, it's not going to work. Right? Yeah, okay. You understand? So that's the thing, is that you can say that all these things, but people are going on. If it's not good, why do you have 2 billion people who are eating rice, actually probably 3 billion or 4 billion that are eating rice, and they're doing quite fine? You know? You understand? So that's the thing, is that each system works. It's just the modes of nature. And so people just go through these things. Oh, that doesn't work. And then they go to the next. And whatever you're professing nowadays, if it's from the modern viewpoint, in a few years it will be old. Guaranteed. Okay. So now he's spoken of the character of Swayambhuva Manu, right? So the point was, is he was fully Krishna conscious. He performed his duties. From those duties, he had immense material facility. He used it all in Krishna's service. He was happy. His family was happy. His citizens were happy. Right? And of all the people listening to it is happy. Everybody's happy. Like that. So now we'll hear about Devahuti. Okay.
I have a question about compassion.
About?
Compassion.
Compassion.
This means more a person is elevated in consciousness, more he has the inclination for compassion.
Yes, there would be a relation. It means basically you have to be conscious and conscious of others for there to be any of the good qualities.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? But basically, if one's conscious, then these qualities are there. So the higher the consciousness, yes, the better, the more refined it is.
All the leaders, they need to have compassion. Brahmin,
yes, but the compassion, it's not about compassion, it's about being Krishna conscious.
Yes.
Then if one's Krishna conscious, then compassion will have a meaning. Otherwise, devotees, by chanting, are becoming purified. So then there's more and more talk about nice behavior, community, you know, all these different things, equity, fraternity, equality, all these different things. Yeah. You know, that's proper politic, right? Yeah. So, but the thing is, so that refinement is there, but it's only coming out as passion, you know, goodness, passion, these things. It's not technically so much goodness, because it's not according to duty. It's according to social gain. So it's gain and safety that's being looked at. It means if you look, generally if you have a let's say, a social a meeting about how to develop socially, it's always about economics. Like that. So it's about gain and safety. It's not about dharma. So, That's the point, is that it's raised us from anamoy up to pranamoy. But we're supposed to not get attached there. We're supposed to keep going. You know, the smartas are ahead of us, but they're attached to Dharma. You know, the Maya bodies are attached to, how you say, moksha. So, more and more refined. But it's all useless unless it culminates in Krishna. Does that make sense? So that's the idea.
So if there's a lack of compassion between two people or a group or a community or whatsoever, then there's not really Krishna consciousness?
No, it's not saying that. You want to become Krishna conscious, but consciousness in these other areas hasn't developed. You may be Krishna conscious in your own, to be able to interact with others. You may not have the consciousness to be aware of what's needed. Mm-hmm. So in other words, if I'm conscious, you know, in my own area, and I'm Krishna conscious in that, that's good. But I want to extend Krishna consciousness. I want to expand it. Right? Because whatever Krishna conscious I am now, if it's not on the platform of prema, it's still not to its perfection. It's still not mature. So all these things, by becoming conscious of others and the situations and the activities and the results and all these things, then it expands the consciousness, which means there's more ability to become Krishna conscious. Because if you go back to Godhead, it's not just about you. Right? Because much of the time it's just about me, my development, my Krishna consciousness, my purification. Okay, and that's good, but why are we doing that?
Is compassion?
No. Just answer the question. Why be Krishna conscious? Why be purified?
To be happy.
Okay. Anything else?
Serve others.
But why? What would be the point to serve others? What is it? Because you're taking this compassion and trying to work on that. But I'm just saying, what would be the connection? Why serve others?
To please
Krishna. That's the whole point. Yeah. Means, what's the point if we're Krishna conscious if it doesn't please Krishna? Means, of course, Krishna consciousness pleases Krishna, but if it's about pleasing Krishna, that's going to give Krishna the most pleasure rather than we're Krishna conscious, because then we're happy. Material world makes us unhappy. Being Krishna conscious, I become happy. So that's correct, that's proper, but that's still the neutral point. That's still tatasta. Right? Just the platform of the soul that I am happiness, and my source of happiness comes from some other, from a greater source. So I'm not the source of this happiness. I am happiness, but my source is somewhere else. So my connection with that somewhere else is actually going to be what makes me happy. So that's correct. That's spiritual. And that's advanced. But it's still tatastha. Prema, now that is positive. The other is just, this is the situation, this is the fact. Then prema means I'm doing something dynamic about that. I'm applying that. You understand? Does this make sense?
Yes.
So, therefore, if it's about pleasing Krishna, then how does Krishna become pleased? He just sits there and exists and is happy that he is who he is. How does Krishna become happy? What does he do to become happy?
He
interacts with the devotees. Yeah, okay, he interacts with the devotees. Okay? So, therefore, if to please Krishna, he interacts with the devotees, then us interacting with Krishna and the devotees, that's going to make Krishna happy. Because if it's just with him, you know, it has its limitation. You understand? So now that's where this concept of compassion, all these things, because we're aware of others. But the real point of being compassionate and aware is not just for compassion's sake. It's because the compassion for Krishna's living entities is putting them in a situation where they can please Krishna, and that pleases Krishna. So he wants them to be back in a relationship with him, and we're trying to help him with that. That's the real point. So it's still not compassion, because all these good qualities are Krishna. But compassion Okay, we just take the word compassion. Is it personal or is it impersonal?
Impersonal.
It's impersonal. Compassion.
If you don't connect to
it, it's impersonal. So, oh no, but we have to have compassion. Great. How does that look? How is it going to be applied? We must be kind to everybody. Okay, so what does kindness look like? You know? So that's the thing. Oh, how are you today? Great. That's nice. But then on other areas, we're not very compassionate. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's the thing, is that unless it's a... So who defines what is compassion? That's the point. It comes down to, so you have to be Krishna conscious to actually be compassionate. To actually, you know, see, we're going to see, you know, how Kardama sees with equal vision. And we're going to see when Kapila Muni starts his discussion, he's going to start with that same point. So all this compassion, equity, fraternity, equality, that's our thing. You know what I'm saying? The French were onto something, because it was, you know, it's Krishna's thing. But the difference is, you know, whether it's about spirituality or it's about politics. You understand? So as far as politics goes, you don't get better than that. You understand? But there's higher levels of these. In other words, if this quality is Krishna, and Krishna is everything, you can apply Krishna at this level. You can apply him at Anamoy, at Pranamoy, Manamoy, Vijnanamoy. But Anandamoy is where he's as a person. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the whole thing. The principle that everything's based on, the mechanics, or, you know, the duties, that's all. So this is all Brahman and Paramatma. But when you get to Anandamoy, now you're talking Bhagavan. So we get easily distracted by the Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha. Oh, we must be pure, we must be in the mode of goodness, we must be compassionate, we must, you know, there must be unity. So why should there be unity? What's the point? Unified in what? What's the unifying factor? And as we see from the primordial demigods, Krishna glances, all the elements separate, but they won't go together. So Krishna is the one that holds things together. So if we talk unity, the only thing that unifies is Krishna. Now, it may be Krishna in the form of this or that. You know what I'm saying? They unify unity because they all like to ski, or they all like to skateboard, or they all have fancy cars, or... You know what I'm saying? But it's still Krishna. It's what they're looking for in each one of those. It's Krishna. Why the skiing? Oh, the freshness, the excitement, the freedom. You go off the side of a mountain, there's no one there except you and the trees that you kind of hope you don't hit, right? And you don't kind of include in there, you know, the avalanches. You understand?
So compassion meaning, true compassion only means
if it's in connection with Krishna.
And if it's not connected to Krishna, then it's not really compassion, or it's just a different level?
It's just a lower level. Okay, it's just like this. I have one grain of rice. Mm-hmm. Is that food?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll invite you over and give you one grain of rice for lunch. Have this nice plate. Get that. What's that stuff called? The Japanese plates? Nati. I never remember that. It's one kind of porcelain. They're considered the top. I give you one of the full set out, all the fortnight, everything like that. You know, the tablecloth, the music, you know, everything. You have to wear a tux, you know. And then when you come, there'll be a plate, you know, and inside the plate, we'll put another plate, and on the middle of that, there'll be one grain of rice. Well cooked, real basmati, this big. I'll even put some saffron.
Or if you invite me, I accept.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, but now is that a meal?
It's not a meal.
Okay, so that's the point, is that therefore the compassion where you gave the kid a mosquito net, great. He needs a mosquito net, he should have one. But you can't say that's the end-all and be-all of compassion. That's just helping where people need on the physical. You know, and as long as you get the emotional return, you're happy. Right?
Yeah.
Is that what I said?
Yeah.
Yeah. Then you have to, but okay, then what about the intelligence? Well, why is that good? Why is it good that these kids have mosquito nets? Okay, and what's the problem with mosquitoes biting? That's what mosquitoes do. Mosquitoes bite. So you're getting in the way. You're disturbing the duty, the performance of the mosquito's duty. That's his nature, and you're getting in that way of
it. Yeah, it's not the duty of the kid to get bitten.
Ah, okay. Nice, okay. And so he doesn't get bit. Now what?
Oh, he's happy.
And then he's happy. Now what does he do? Now he's really happy to, you know, go out with his friends and hold up the local grocery store, you know? Because he doesn't have malaria, so he can actually stand up and walk around. Right? So what's the point? Okay, now he's happy. Now what? You know, now what's he going to do with his happiness? He still is in ignorance, doesn't know what he is. So therefore you give him a mosquito net. Then there's food. There's clothes. There's medicine. There's education. There's occupation. There's protection, and you know, by the community, protection by the government. All these things are going about. But then, what about him as the soul? So now we've covered everything up to the government level. So now everything on is done. Now you know, okay, and then education. So now everything on Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha is covered. But what about him as the soul? So that's the whole thing. So you have to take that. So if that's there, then according to your nature and ability, you may help in these other areas also. You understand? But the most important is the consciousness is there, because people are suffering because of the consciousness. Consciousness is good. Generally, there's less problem. You understand? So that's the whole thing. One always has to be able to see through to what's the actual Krishna consciousness and what's the actual development of these things. Does that make sense? Otherwise, we get caught up in externals and we really, really are convinced that this is what's going to make everything happen. It's just like this. Let us say the teacher focuses on tests. Okay, now if I say that a school is having tests, am I going to think that's weird? No, okay. I focus on the tests. The teacher just looks at the test, grades a test. He's a strict grader, you know, make sure, you know, that all the points are pointed out. It's raw, okay? Is he actually a good teacher?
No.
What did he teach?
How to pass a test.
Did he?
Well,
did he? Name me the teacher that does that. I've seen one. I remember one teacher, he figured out what the test was, because it wasn't his test, it was some other board. He figured out what they're looking for. They're trying to stuff this much stuff into this much time. So he understood it's about time. So for, I don't know, like for a year, he had the students practicing writing 200-word essays. Just like that. They just sit down and he says, okay, you know, in 5 minutes I want a 200-word essay on this. And they did that for a year. And then then he taught the subject matter. And then when they actually went and took the test, it's still the highest standing score that there's ever been from this. That's the only one I ever know that's taught to pass the exam. So they don't teach to pass the exam. He's not teaching the subject matter. He's just pointing out where you don't know the subject matter. That's not a teacher. You understand? The point is that the teacher teaches the subject matter. He tests to see how much they've learned. Just like this. I'm boiling the rice, right? Now, I might at some point when I think it's... I'll check the rice. Then I know, is it done or it's not? What's the point of squeezing the rice? You're not done. What's wrong with you guys? Bunch of idiot rice. You don't know that rice is supposed to be soft. Can I say that? Do I have any right to say that? Zero. My business is to see that it's cooked. So my business is to teach or inspire or protect, you know, or to generate the funds or to do the work and accomplish the task. Then I can say I'm doing something. You know, we just sit back and just check and test. Anybody can do that. I can bring in a rickshaw walla from the front gate and say, okay, what do you think of ISKCON Mayapur? What's your opinion? And guaranteed he knows probably more names and more stuff that's going on than we do. And he'll have an opinion. And if you want to, and you know, if you want to know more about it, he can bring his friends. So that's easy. It doesn't cost any money. You just have to go out and talk to a rickshaw walker. And they're sitting there anyway, so they're happy to talk. You know, and even better, you hire them and go to Hoolagat and they can talk on the way. You know, that's even better. Win-win. Right? So, yeah. So the point is that the compassion means you can't demand that others have it if you're not giving or have the ability to give it. Does that make sense? Everyone's got an opinion about lunch. How many can actually cook it? So the ones that cook, now their opinion is of value. The other ones, it's just to get an idea of how you're cooking. But you can't take it seriously as a cooking critique. You know what I'm saying? You know, the adult sits down and picks up the Brussels sprout, puts it in their mouth and goes, wow, this is nice. How many kids are going to say that? So does that mean it's not nice? Yeah, so that's the whole point. Is that in doing this, it's about that principle, but then you have to be doing it. So how do you know what to do? It has to be in connection with the Lord. Because otherwise, what is it? What is compassion? Everybody has a different idea.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm just seeing the examples passing through my head of people showing compassion, but I'm thinking, what are they getting in return? Or what's their principle? The primary?
Satisfaction, yeah. Something like that. Some emotional satisfaction, generally, is what it's about. That's what I say. They function on the physical to get the emotional. Yeah. So the point is, we function on the physical, emotional, and intellectual to get the spiritual. Right? In other words, you use artha to affect dharma. Dharma should give moksha. Moksha should give bhakti. Does that make sense? So that's how it's functioning. Is that good? Huh? Yeah, we were saying yes. It was only one paragraph. Yes.
I was thinking that the Kanishka Adhikari only sees Krishna and the deity, not
the devotees.
Yeah, not the devotees, so that's one aspect of
the compassion that you expand the view. You expand the view.
As you advance in Krishna consciousness.
Yes. Because the point is, it's about Krishna and devotees. Because the Vrindavan Leela, it's all about the devotees interacting with Krishna. So it's not just you're on your own, you're doing it as groups. You individually have your relationship, but you're also working in a group to do that. You know, say, you know, Radha and Krishna, but they have all their friends and maidservants. Like the cowherd boys, there's the main cowherd boys, but then there's, you know, thousands of cowherd boys. There's the main cows, there's millions of cows. You know what I'm saying? So like that, there's always the main in the group. Like that. So it's just like you have Madhavendra Puri. Okay, now he's the Kalpavriksha tree. Now you have this big open field, and there's one tree out in the middle of the field. Okay, now is that great? Okay, it's opening, you know, they could be, the logo for filmmaking company, or maybe for, in Provence, in, L'Occitane or something. You know, they have a tree out in the middle of nowhere, where does this tree come from, like that. But the point is what's nice is you have all these trees together. Right? So there's Madhavendra Puri as the main tree, and then all the other trees who are following his footsteps. There's Mother Jashoda, and then all of the elder, elder gopis. There's Radharani, all the other young gopis. You know, Sudama, Sridama, and all the other cowherd boys. Does that make sense? So that's the whole idea, is that it's about the group. Oh.
It's about the group.
Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. Chapter 23, Devahuti's Lamentation. Pratigya. Devahuti laments her squandering of the opportunity for deliverance from material entanglement. Right? So the whole point is that we're going to see how nicely Devahuti performs her duties, how nicely Kardama performs her duties, the closeness of their relationship, their interaction. You know, everything is ideal. Right? But having done that, everything's so perfect materially as far as family life goes, she's lamenting that she got distracted by that and didn't become God conscious. Right? In other words, you're performing your duties so nicely, you get distracted by the niceness that's generated from the nice duties. So that's the other thing, is that if by following them we would become Krishna conscious, then why not have the facility? But if by having the facility we lose Krishna consciousness, then what's the point? Does that make sense? In other words, we don't want to come back born as a smarta Brahmin. You know, nice, good facility, following the basic sadhana and everything, right? But not Krishna conscious, not least dynamically. You know what I'm saying? Like that. So. Pratigya is expressed in this excerpt from Srila Prabhupada's purport to verse 54. Devahuti laments because her husband had given her the best kind of material enjoyment. But she did not know that he was so advanced in spiritual realization. Right? Because the point is, husband and wife are getting married because of husband and wifeness, not because of spiritual advancementness.
Yes.
Right? Really?
Surprise.
That's not why I got married. Yeah. Her plea was that even though she did not know the glories of her great husband, because she had taken shelter of him, she must be delivered from material entanglement. Right? So, because he is advanced, then she should get the benefit of that. Right? So not just the material benefit. In other words, husband's providing all these benefits. But it should be these highest elements. Right? So here the physical, the emotional was taken care of, very, how you say, universal class. Yeah. But the intellectual, then something, but not so much, and then the spiritual, not. Because that wasn't the interest. So, because the husband has that, then now she's expecting, okay, now that she's figured that out, then she should get that benefit. Right? Does that make sense? Okay. Association with a great personality is most important. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya says that Sadhu Sangha, C.C. Madhya Lila 22:83, the association of great saintly person is very important, because even if one is not advanced in knowledge, simply by association with a great saintly person, one can immediately make considerable advancement in spiritual life. Right? So we see, as it all boils down to, that the main principle that's being pointed out is this point of Sadhu Sangha. Right? Because the whole process functions by this. We come in contact with Krishna through sadhusanga. We develop in our devotional life because of sadhusanga. Right? And we'll be performing service eternally in sadhusanga. So there's never going to be something that's not sadhusanga. That's the whole thing. It's all about the sadhus. Because for Krishna, it's all about the sadhus. Right? It's all about the devotees. So that then is, so the most, if Krishna is the most important, then what's most important to him must be the most important. And it's the devotees. So if we want to commune with Krishna, then we have to have the same mentality, which is devotees are the most important. As a woman, as an ordinary wife, Devahuti became attached to Kardama Muni in order to satisfy her sense enjoyment and other material necessities. But actually, she associated with the great personality. Now she understood this, and she wanted to utilize the advantage of the association of a great husband. Right? So that's the whole idea. The husband, the Prabhupada says, spiritual husband, religious wife. So therefore, she's performing her duties. And because he's spiritual, then with time, that will become purified. And then one will appreciate the spiritual aspect. Right? That's the whole thing, is that how is it we're using our conditioning? Right? We're doing something for Krishna. Okay, who manages for Krishna? People interested in management. Who cooks? Those who like cooking. You know, you understand? Everyone does according to their conditioning. So it's not necessarily it's about Krishna as much as it's about cooking. But by cooking for Krishna, one becomes purified and one becomes attracted to Krishna. Does that make sense? So the householder performs their duties, and by doing that in connection with the Lord, one becomes Krishna conscious. Right? Right? So here we're doing that, we're taking advantage of performing our duties nicely. From performance of those duties, then we come to the position of appreciating the spiritual aspect. Does that make sense? So now what happens if there isn't the duties and there's no spiritual appreciation? Then we're not going to get anywhere. Right? Because duties should come, action should culminate in duties. Duties in renunciation, renunciation in Krishna consciousness, devotion to the Lord. You understand? So that's the idea. The Vedic culture is that you're falling back on following the Vedic culture, is that you don't fall below that. Because technically below the Vedic culture is animal life. Right? So in devotees are saying, oh, we don't worry about this Veda, it doesn't matter and all that. What we're saying is we're happy as animals. That's technically what's being said. You say that to them, no, that's not what I mean. So then what do you mean? But human life begins with the Vedic culture. It begins. It's not that they're, you know, a better quality. You know what I'm saying? It begins with Varnashram. So if you're not following Varnashram, technically we're not human. That's why it's always thrown in about even an animal can do it. You know? And that gives us hope. And we feel, yes, okay, this I can do. Does that make sense? So, that's the idea. At least you stay on the human platform, and from doing the duties in human platform, if you have good association, at some point you may notice, okay, what about the spiritual? Does that make sense? So that's the whole point of the Vedic culture. So we see, is it had effect. So you do it nicely. That's the idea of doing it nicely, because then the material arrangements are taken care of. Then having taken care of the material arrangements, if you have good association, then at some point you realize that this is not so important. Right? Kardama Muni arranged amazing stuff for his wife. Right? He spent time with her very nicely. Right? But then he's now ready to go to the forest. So then what's that going to do? That's going to make her look at things from that perspective. Okay, now if we have all this, and he's willing to give this up for going to the forest, because it's a high, then this actually wasn't the whole point. Why go to the forest? Because of the point of the Lord. So therefore, then, she wants to be able to connect to the Lord. Make sense? So that's the whole idea of this. So here in this way is that if one's already Krishna conscious, great, then it's just a comfortable position to perform duties from. But if one's not, then that's it's still a comfortable position, but then you see that there's something higher. And then the focus will switch from that lower to higher. So that's why, one follows the Vedic culture, and two, one's supposed to be God conscious. Right? Because it keeps one in human, it takes care of the needs and desires, at the same time it moves one, but it gives facility for moving one forward in Krishna consciousness. You see, every Vedic subject matter always starts off with creation, always starts from the Lord, and shows how through the creation expands down to that aspect that the study is about. So that means you can reverse it and take it back to the Lord. That means every Vedic subject is very compatible with being engaged in the Lord's service. How many Western topics can you say that that's? None. So, therefore, it may get you a job, but the point is the job takes care of your life. But if you don't know how to be Krishna conscious, what's the point of your life? You know what I'm saying? How intelligent is it? Okay, now we can say, who's more smart? This guy, you know, he's a big, you know, he's got his MBA, he's, you know, high-flying in the business, you know, he's flying around first class all over the world doing big things like that, or a cow? What would be our natural?
The guy.
But now, how hard is he working? How much trouble is he going through? And the end result is he gets money to take care of himself so he can eat. The cow just does that by walking out in the lawn. Right? So, you know, the cow just enjoys himself. Sits there, sits in the sun. When they've had enough to eat, just lay down and chew cud for a while. You know? You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing. The point is, the humans, if they're not becoming God conscious, they're actually in a worse position than the animals. They're working so hard. Well, the animals get the same thing for it quite easy. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. So that's the point. Now she understood this, now she wants to take advantage. Adhyaya Prakashika. The 23rd chapter describes the request of Devahuti and the enjoyment of Kardama after creating heavenly wealth desired by her. Devahuti serves her husband with full devotion. She even neglects her own body while engaging in his service. Kardama Muni expresses his appreciation for Devahuti's service. Devahuti then expresses her desire to have children. She requests Kardama to make all suitable arrangements. Maitreya tells Vidura of the wonderful and opulent arrangements Kardama Muni makes through his mystic powers. He creates a flying palace equipped with all opulences. He has Devahuti enter Bindusarova Lake and has her beautified and attended to by thousands of maidservants. Devahuti and Kardama then travel throughout the universe within their palace and enjoy all sights. Finally, returning to Bindusarova, Kardama divides himself into nine and impregnates Devahuti. Devahuti on that same day gives birth to nine charming female children. Kardama immediately prepares to leave home to take sannyas. Devahuti then approaches Kardama and shyly places before him her lack of spiritual realizations and her thought that she has wasted her entire life on sense enjoyment and has not sought liberation. Shloka Anusharana, summary of the verses. Verses 1 to 11, Devahuti serves Kardama with intimacy and respect. Verses 12 to 48, Kardama creates an aerial mansion. Verses 49 to 57, Kardama prepares to leave home. Verses 1 to 11, Devahuti serves Kardama with intimacy and respect. While faithfully serving her husband, Devahuti even neglects her own body. Kardama Muni expresses his appreciation for Devahuti's service. Devahuti then expresses her desire to have children and requests Kardama to make all suitable arrangements. Maitreya continued. After the departure of her parents, the chaste woman, Devahuti, who could understand the desires of her husband, served him constantly with great love, as Bhavani, the wife of Lord Shiva, serves her husband. Verse 1. Srila Prabhupada's purport to verse 1 is significant. The specific example of Bhavani is very significant. Bhavani means the wife of Bhava, or Lord Shiva. Bhavani, or Parvati, the daughter of the king of the Himalayas, selected Lord Shiva, who appears to be just like a beggar, as her husband. In spite of her being a princess, she undertook all kinds of tribulations to associate with Lord Shiva, who did not even have a house, but was sitting underneath the trees and passing his time in meditation. Although Bhavani was the daughter of a very great king, she used to serve Lord Shiva just like a poor woman. Similarly, so the point is it's about the relationship. It's not about the position or anything like this. So we can see is that the equality is not necessarily then on wealth, right? But it's in some other capacity, right? The character, the culture, things like this. But if you translate, the wealth of the Brahmins is not in material wealth. It's in knowledge and brahminical potency. So we see is when it comes to that, then he was actually on a greater platform, right? So that's the whole point, is that there has to be quality, but you have to see where it is. So the traditionally is that you would just match it up by the external connections, right? But you also want to see that it may need to be translated. You know what I'm saying? Somebody's a millionaire in rupees, someone's a millionaire in dollars, but it comes out as it should be the same. Right?
Yes.
Does that make sense? So if it's the same, they're both millionaires, but you know, if you take one and turn it to the other, they have the same money. Right? So that's equal, though it's in different currency. Right? So then in the Brahmins and Kshatriyas, the currency is different. So they must be of equal level. In other words, how much she's the emperor. She's the daughter of the emperor. So that means he is, you know, Lord Brahma's son. You know, his position is very elevated. He's a great mystic, a great yogi, a great devotee. So then there's equality. Right? So then from this, then she's serving very nicely. Right? Does that make sense? Right? Why do we bring out this point of the service? Because that has to be mentioned. Right? Because a few things. If the husband is of that caliber, the wife likes to serve. Right? If he's not of the caliber, then she doesn't like to serve. Did you come for the PTA? You came for the class or the PTA?
Oh, PTA. I'm sorry. Where is that?
It's upstairs.
Oh. Upstairs.
Sorry.
You're going to the PTA. And it's all spiritual. If you want to know what's going on, you have to go up there. Okay, so therefore, whatever is the nature of the husband, she's serving in that capacity. Right? So the unspoken is, he has to be in a position where she likes to serve. Right? So, examples will be given of women who have husbands that technically aren't worth serving. But by performance of that service, then they are in an elevated position. They will get all benefit from that. Right? You may not get as much benefit now, but you will get it later. You know, and the benefit will be much greater. Does that make sense? You know, she'll go to the heavenly planets. Whether he goes, that's another thing. Right? But the principle, if that's in place, Then if her husband happens to be a devotee, right, then that spiritual aspect will be there. Yes.
She'll go to the heavenly planets for the principle of serving husband?
Yes. She's doing her duties. If he doesn't do his duties, then that's the results he'll get. But she's performing hers. So the idea, that's why the Vedas, it's all about performing your duties. But when you're talking about the ladies, then you have to talk about the women's perspective and their duties. But the point is if we say equally matched, that means how much she's serving him, that's how much he's serving her.
Yes.
But, as we mentioned, the form may be different. Yeah. But it must match. Right? And so that she's doing this to such a degree, that means it matches. Because the lady's not going to do this unless she's inspired. Does that make sense? So the thing is, oh, this is what they're supposed to do. Okay, but what about all the chapters that explain what the man's supposed to do? Anyone quoting those? You know what I'm saying? If you asked the men, okay, get all the men together. Okay, as a husband, what are your duties in family life? What's going to say? Protect the women, make some money, you know, provide for the family, protect the women. Okay, what else? That's about it. Okay, ask the same men, okay, what are the duties of the women? Oh, to serve, to do this, to do that. They can go on and on and on. You understand? Because they pick that up because that's what they want. But Prabhupada said, first deserve, then desire. You know, so you're qualified to have this, right? In other words, this level of service matches Kardama Muni. You are Kardama Muni by qualification, you're going to get the service of a wife like Devahuti. You know, you're a shmo, you're going to get a shmo-ini. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's how it works. You understand? So you have to take which one time. But this is about the ladies, but it's just being said, because otherwise then it'll say, oh, what about, you know.
She became emaciated. Was her husband not being properly fed?
But what is she? How is she emaciated?
By serving.
But see, this is another thing that will come up later. The detail will be there. If the woman is not involved in an environment where the senses are engaged, she becomes emaciated. You know what I'm saying?
She didn't get children. Sorry, I didn't
understand. Means that kind of, how you say, right, it's sometimes funny. The senses being engaged on that platform of intimacy, that then the women become inspired. But the point is she's come into a Brahminical environment that where they live very, very simply. He just has a hut. You know, even though they're great mystics and yogis, they don't care about the material, because we can see is if he wanted it, he could have it. You know, it's not like you're living in some little hut somewhere, and then, you know, there's a need for a flying palace, and so then you just make one up, and then, you know what I'm saying? He can do that. So it's not that he doesn't have the facility, he just doesn't have the interest. You understand? So she is adjusting to his environment, and she's doing that. And you can say, see, she's supposed to adjust. Yes, and then how long was that for?
He recognizes that she's done so much.
Yeah, so you can see that it's stable, it's steady and all this, because it's like this. The sun, where does he get his nature from? The mother. So if the mother, if the husband is convinced that the wife has the character that will make a great son, then that's there. So then when that character is there, it's recognized, then everything goes the other way. It's not that it eternally stays like that. And it's not that it's limited to 9 months here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just whenever that's there. But the point is it's, but it's not that he's in that renounced situation because he's renounced, not because he's a slob, not because he's lazy. Because he can generate all that. You know? You know what I'm saying? It's like the guy who, you know, he was the valedictorian from his law school. Right, you know, he can do well. He, you know, worked with his father in his practice, and he the jury loves him. He wins every case, but then there's something more. He's not satisfied. He's looking for himself, right? So he just looks like some ordinary Joe. Right, bumps into some girl like this and that. The girl likes him for who he is, like that. Then when it all works out, then. He's, you know, it's nice. Then, because he has to take care of her, then he goes back to his law practice and they have some big, you know, how you say, fancy house in Malibu. But it's about the relationship. You understand? He is a simple Brahma. She's functioning in that capacity. Yes, that's the whole point. When that's strong, then the physical has meaning. But otherwise now, you know, what's your standard? If you want to take, you know, the physical is the central point, wealth and the physical aspect, that's called an L.A. wedding or a California wedding. And California wedding means there's a prenup. And who's going to benefit? Yeah. Just never put in the prenup, if you die, it goes to your wife. You might end up dead. Right? You always put, if you die, then it all goes to charity. Then at least she won't kill you. Right?
It's an interesting point. Like Paul McCartney, he lost 1 billion pounds because he didn't do it. He said it wasn't romantic.
Yeah, yeah.
So she got it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's the whole point. Is, you know, if he was just a Joe and she's, you know, just a Jane, then it's okay. But he's Paul McCartney, so he needs some papers. Is that okay? Okay. Although Bhavani was the daughter of a very great king, she used to serve Lord Shiva just like a poor woman. Similarly, Devahuti was the daughter of an emperor, Swayambhuva Manu. Yet she preferred to accept Kardama Muni as her husband. Right? Because it's about the relationship. It's not about the facility. The facility is nice, but the relationship is the primary. The facility is the secondary. You always have to know the two. Right? She served him with great love and affection, and she knew how to please him. Right? So how does she know how to please him? That means she knows the nature. How does she know the nature? She's observant. She sees how things work. Right? Therefore, she is designated here as Sadvi, which means a chaste, faithful wife. Her rare example is the ideal of Vedic civilization. Every woman is expected to be as good and chaste as Devahuti or Bhavani. Right? So that's the idea. That's what you're trying to get. Now, whether you get to that is another thing, just like you're trying to be as good a husband as Kardama. You know? So in other words, the girl who's trying her best to be like Devahuti and the husband is trying to be like Kardama, that's a good match. You know? You know, so it works. There must be that equalness. Unmarried girls worship Lord Shiva so they can expect a husband who is as good a Vaishnav as he. That's why they're worshiping Shiva. It's not demigod worship. They're just so that they get a devotee husband, right? Who has good qualities, will be properly matched, they'll be able to advance in spiritual life. That's why devotees. The girls are not taught to select a husband who is very rich or very opulent for material sense gratification. Rather, if a girl is fortunate enough to get a husband as good as Lord Shiva in devotional service, then her life becomes perfect, because whatever you have, if you're just or whatever it is, if the relationship is good, it doesn't matter what you have. Right? Now, if the relationship is there and you can add opulence, great. But if it's opulence or relationship, then relationship is the solid thing. Opulence is secondary. You know, except for, you know, if you're a gold digger, that's another thing. But does that make sense? The wife is dependent on the husband, and if the husband is a Vaishnava, then naturally she shares the devotional service of the husband because she renders him service. So that's why she would come to that realization. He is a devotee, rendering his service. She's assisting in that. She gets 50%. You could say, oh, but she's serving. Where's the reciprocation, you know, from this angle? Because we have to look at it from the girls. You can't say, well, what about him? No, we're discussing the girl now. You know, it's just like, I come into the kitchen, I'm discussing with the cook about the menu and how we're going to cook. And he's going, yeah, but what about the service? You know, how's it going to be served? That's another thing that we'll discuss with the servers. You worry about cooking. No, but how can I cook unless... You understand? Point is, the cooking, you're doing the... So this is the women's duty. You talk about the women, what they're supposed to be doing and everything. Right? So, because they serve... Then, whatever devotional credit he gets, she gets 50%. Automatic. Doesn't serve, doesn't get. Serves, gets. Easy. You know, put food in your mouth, something's in your stomach. Don't put food, nothing in your stomach. It's simple.
Sahadharma Charan. That's why she's known as Sahadharma Charan.
Yeah. So Does that make sense? So that's why the idea is someone who's spiritually advanced, that makes a good marriage. That's what Prabhupada says, spiritual husband, religious wife. Because she'll perform her religious duties, she automatically gets 50% of his spiritual development. Right? So it works out. Then from that, the focus will go from the religious into the eternal religious. Because as we said, ladies will go from material dharma to spiritual dharma. They generally don't bother with the spiritual in between. You understand? Spiritual, just I'm not the body, I'm the soul, and all this kind of stuff. So that's why it's always funny when the ladies say that to get. For Artha, they always say, we're not this body. No, but that's not their viewpoint. You understand? We function here. And the rasa and interaction and benefits here, or we function there. But the middle place in between, it's very rare anybody's interested in that. You understand? Masculine, a few. You understand? So, all it is then it's switching from that into the other. And you see, then she goes from, you know, all this material opulence and facility into just focusing on spiritual life, you know, on the devotional aspect. Does that make sense? So here we're making material, spiritual, devotional. So saying the man is there, the spiritual, trying to get to devotional. Then from that endeavor, then she gets 50% of the benefit, she'll just go from material to devotional. Does that make sense? That's natural.
For women, it's more easy.
It's more easy, but at the same time means your principle of attachment is stronger. Right? So if that attachment is directed at Krishna, it's easier. If it's directed at Maya, it's harder. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But the point is by training, the women are naturally religious. Okay. You go into, you know, we walk into the front of the building, we walk up all 7 flights of stairs, because every apartment, how you say, you know, apartment building in China must have 7 floors. right? Because it's been figured out you can walk up 7 floors without having a heart attack. So not 8, you might have a heart attack, but 7, right? Okay. Yeah. And then you get there and you go inside. And inside there's this little altar with Buddha on it. Who does the puja? Who does the offering?
Why?
Because they tend to be religious. You understand? That's the whole thing. Women by nature are religious. Because why? Because religion generates artha. From dharma comes artha. So if you want, ladies like facility, so therefore you perform dharma. You understand? So now the point is they're doing dharma going in the direction of artha. The husband should be doing dharma in the direction of moksha. Right? Then that makes a balance, right? If she's going that way, he should be going the other way. It's balanced. But the common point is dharma. That's where they're both performing. Right?
So what about man, he has no dharma, directly go to the spiritual side?
That's great. But then what activities do you do if there's no dharma? How do you know it's a spiritual activity? He lays in bed until 12 in the morning, but thinking about Krishna. He's not asleep. He's been awake since the Brahma Muhurta. Right? It's very spiritual. He went to bed at, he went to bed at 12 midnight. But he's awake at 3, so he sleeps very little. Always absorbed in the Lord.
Very best.
He was just, at the disco, he was just seeing the interaction of Krishna's energies. You understand? So what does this activity look like? What's it look like?
Strange.
Okay. So, how do we establish, I have a religious mentality and I have a religious lifestyle, so where do I get this religious lifestyle from?
Having fun, man.
Just in general. For men, you get it down at the hardware store. For women, you get it down at, the boutique, right? So the point is God gives religion. Religion comes from God. So you either take his or you'll make one up. Does that make sense?
Yeah, usually people like to make their own.
Yes, and then what benefit are they getting? It means you live the lifestyle of cats and dogs. Then the next life, when you become one, then you end up in a restaurant.
This is Korea.
That's a serious cycle there, isn't it? This is dog eat dog, right? No? Okay. This reciprocation of service and love between husband and wife is the ideal of a householder's life. So it says reciprocation. So it's just mentioning about Devahuti because it's about Devahuti's, her realization. Right? Like that, because we've already heard about his realization before Swayambhuva came along. Now we're hearing about her realization. Mm-hmm. Right, so they can see they're well matched. Right? Like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, Maharaj, when Devahuti was, before getting married, she was hearing the value of Kavama Muni.
Yes.
By Narada and his. But she was realizing that, she was believing that he is a Vaishnava, but she was not having the realization.
No, no.
at the time.
Yes, that's the whole point, is that there's jnana and there's vijnana.
Yes.
It's not that she doesn't know that, you know, serving Lord Vishnu is the topmost and this and that, but it's a matter of realization.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like every devotee knows that developing love for Krishna is the ultimate goal. You know, so they all know, but realization is in various levels. So one can become very absorbed in one's duties. You know, even though they're secondary, becomes absorbed in them. So the more it's secondary, then the more it's good for the spiritual development, the more it's dynamic that way. The more it's taken as primary and the spiritual is secondary, the more it goes the other way. You know what I'm saying? Yes.
All right, so from this description, we can infer that not that she didn't practice any Krishna consciousness, but it wasn't like intense, it wasn't the main thing in her life. That's why she laments.
Yeah, that'll be part of it. Means, yes, she's lamenting because even though she may be performing devotional activities, her focus has been on, you know, the family and this and that kind of thing. So it's natural.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because the thing is this, natural means whatever is the six opulences, you know, in the material world, these are naturally the attractive to women. Right? Because by nature of being themselves energy, which is opulence, then naturally opulence is attracted by opulence. Right? You know, money attracts money, you know, so, you know, beauty, wealth, you know, like this power. Like, who, it means, it's like Mussolini hangs out with Stalin or Hitler. You know, they get together, you know, they're not hanging out with, you know, the barber. Right? You know? Does that make sense? You know, and then you have people who are very wealthy. Who else is in the room? They have a program, a party. Who's in the room? Other really wealthy people. You have people who are beautiful. Then who's in the room? Other people who are beautiful. You understand? So that's how it works, you know. You have guys that are crazy. Who else is at the party? More crazy guys, you know. Is that make sense? Yeah. So that's the thing, is so sense that that's the feminine nature. So being attracted by opulence, Krishna being the source of opulence, naturally that's the ultimate attraction. But if we're looking at it from the secondary point of view of enjoying it for ourselves, we notice that and not Krishna. So women are by nature attracted to the six opulences. Anybody has them, there's an attraction. Right? Immediate. Mm-hmm. Right? But so then we can say, okay, and men are like that. No, men are attracted to women.
Yes. This is stupid.
That's stupid. You know, so the women are, you know, with great enthusiasm diving into the material energy, and then the men are diving in behind them, right? So that's why it says women are bad association, but worse is those who are attached to women. That's what's worse. So that's why you see here, Kadama Muni, it's understood to deal with the material desires that are still left in his heart, then there is the need of family life. But it's not about family life. Family life is a tool for becoming fully Krishna conscious.
Yes.
So that's what we talk about, the first class brahmachari. Right? Makes a first class grihastha. So that's the ideal that one's trying to get to. Is one understands that the grihastha life is very useful for becoming Krishna conscious if you have material desire. If you don't have material desire, it's not important. Right? Just like cooking is very useful if you're hungry. If you're not hungry, why would you cook? Right? So, you know, so that's the whole idea. Then it works out very nicely. So so that she's attracted by all these things, that's not technically a fault, that's just feminine nature. But the situation is good because the husband is advanced in devotional service. She's been trained, so she knows the religion to practice that is supportive of that, and she has an appreciation of devotional service. So that combination will be very dynamic. Right, because otherwise we tend to look at the externals externally. then it's really getting bad. You know, if we're saying, you know, it's just like, how you say, Lord Chaitanya, when Ramananda Rai brought up Varnashram, performance of one's duties in Varnashram, because in some sampradayas, then that's considered, you know, part of Padasetana. Yeah, is it? No. Dasyam. To them is practicing your duties in Varnashram, because in being from a Vaikuntha culture, then it's a performance of your duties. So for them, it's a medium to express their devotion in a more serious, you understand? So for them, they take it that way. That's why Rupa Goswami points out, for us, Dasyam doesn't mean Varnashram. Right? But for some, it does. So then how do we get into that? Yes. So then he says that as the first thing. Lord Chaitanya says that's external. Right? And so that's the whole culture, the whole everything, all the different activities, duties, whatever you're going to do, from waking up to going to sleep and everything in between. Right? It includes picking your nose. Ayurveda points out, don't spend too much time with your finger in your nose or your ear, because it throws the ether off. Right? There's a certain amount of ether there. You put your finger there, there's too much ether. You make the space too big. You understand? So it even deals with that. Right? Yeah.
Too much.
Yeah. I mean, if there's something, your ear itches, you stick your finger in the ear, but you don't sit there and do that all day. Your nose itches, you stick your finger in it, but you don't leave it there all day. Yeah? No, no. So that's why that we'll think it's a cultural thing. That the cultural is there because it's not refined, but it actually does have a health effect. Like that. So that's why Ayurveda mentions it. You know, then you have Pancharatra, then you stick your finger, you know, the mucus or the wax from the ear, the rayon from the ear, then you have to wash your hands unless you can do puja. It's one of the 12 items that make you impure. Right? You know, stuff from the eyes. No, excuse me, it's wax from the ears, it's rayon from the eyes. Excuse me.
Rayon.
Rayon, that's the name. Probably no one's used it for 150 years, but that's the name. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
No, I got distracted. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So then what happens is someone may say, oh, that's external. We don't care for Varnashram, external. And then they take something even more external, which is just things that make money and just basically kind of like does some basic things, which is the externals of Varnashram. Because Varnashram is about Dharma, the relationships and everything, and about the good qualities that are practiced to generate so that one can come to the platform of renunciation. Right? So that's the actual internal point of it. The externals is the ritual. And then they're rejecting that and taking a lower form of ritual without any internal. So that's why it's a perversion of the perversion. So it's the external of the external, that's really getting external. You know what I'm saying? And then some people at that are very shallow. So then, even by those who are into that, then we'll point out people who are into the external of the external of the external. Does that make sense? So that's why we have to be able to understand what's the primary and secondary. If not, there is a good chance that except for devotion, the direct devotional activities and everything else, there's a good chance the balance may not be very good. Because we don't know what it's for. You know, why have a nice house? You know, you have to know why. You know, so if you're conditioning, then that's what's good. You need a certain amount of facility to be able to live. And that facility needs to be kept somewhere. You understand? So you need some place to keep it. You know, and it's supposed to be space, it's supposed to be this. Like the Brahmin lives in a hut. The hut's small. But what's outside the door of his hut?
the rest of the world.
But yeah, I mean, it means you go outside, there's forest, there's the river there, there's birds, there's this, that. He's got space, maybe not in his house, but outside his house. You know what I'm saying? So ether is important. It's one of the five elements of the body, of the creation. You don't have ether, then there's no, it's uncomfortable. You know, here we're having, you know, some funny floor with some unfinished bricks and this and that. What's the opulence here? It's definitely not the floor. It's the opening. It means we got ether here like no one's got. Yeah, the open. Yeah. So that because of space, then you get air. You get light. You know? Because we're in the Gurukul, we get plenty of sound.
Yeah.
Yeah, you understand? So the point is one has to know this is opulence. You know? Does that make sense? So that's the thing, you have to know how to translate.
So this I was just thinking before the break, this primary and secondary thing, that's like just a practical thing we should be doing all the time when we want to do an action, ask ourselves what's the primary and what's the secondary.
Because everything is based on primary and secondary. It's all based on masculine and feminine. Right? The point is the feminine is what does the things. But it's based on the masculine. Right? Means, in other words, why am I have a fire, I have pots, I have spoons, I have cut up vegetables, I have spices. Why do I have all that? And why do I have technique?
To cook.
So the masculine principle is cooking. The feminine principle is everything that supports that. So how do I know you're cooking? Because of the other. Do you understand? So, now if we use this, in other words, if you understand this primary and secondary, now, do you understand this reverse? Now if we look at Devahuti or Bhavani are serving with such degree that they're coming from emperor families and they're giving up everything to serve their husband and not caring about their own physical condition. What does that mean? What is that quality of the husband that's obtaining? You understand? Because we look at it, oh, she has to work. What about her? What about her facility? She's a woman. Why? He just sits around all day and that's called the external of the external of the external. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, the point is she's the feminine manifestation of his masculine nature.
Reflection.
Yeah. Well, no, it's just the compatibility.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So that means from that you can understand, but you have to have that perspective. Because as we see, Shankya, it's just about masculine feminine principle. That's all it's about. You know, so who's masculine? Krishna. Who's feminine? His creation. You understand? And so then there is the interaction of those two. So that generates then sambandha avideya prayoja. You know what I'm saying? So, in other words, sambandha avideya prayojana is the philosophy. But what are the elements? Sambandha and prayojana. How do those connect? Avideya. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So that's all there is. So if you see, but generally in primary, secondary, because we're in the material world because we look at secondary. So we continue that here. So without training, we won't look at primary. You know what I'm saying? Let's say, even just on the material platform, even in the modern context, how do you, let's say somebody gives a gift. Now somebody's just looking, oh, this gift, I don't like these kind of things. But someone else who's more trained, what do they say?
Huh? The exchange.
The exchange. But what is it about the gift that's important?
Affection.
The affection. Right? You know, you have, I mean, in English you have this, it's the thought that counts. So that's the importance. So someone who's more trained will appreciate that. Someone who's less trained is that, oh, this is nice, this is not nice. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's what you're trying to get to. So we can see is that if you're taking the masculine and feminine, that he must have some ideal that she's willing to work like this for. He embodies such ideal qualities that she is then using these qualities and activities and situations to complement that. So that's where the balance is.
Because she's religious, so she can appreciate her husband's piety.
Yeah, but because he's also spiritually knows everything, you can see he can appreciate everything she's done, because you can see he wasn't just saying, okay, very nice, thank you, and then moves on. Every aspect he deals with later. There's nothing in her nature that he doesn't reciprocate with. Does that make sense? Okay.
It's quite difficult. Yeah.
Let us say that you want to get lots of money. Is it easy or difficult?
It's not so easy.
Not so easy. Okay. So let's say just we're taking our typical, you know, what we would consider a good relationship between husband and wife. Which would be more important? Your wife or some money? But, you know, if we said, okay, we'll give you some money, we're taking your wife.
No.
Okay.
Not that great.
Okay, yeah. So that means if getting money is so difficult, and women are more valuable than that money, so then how much more difficult is it dealing with women? Value's higher. Right? The value's higher, so it means it's more difficult. Does that make sense?
Yeah. But why the women cannot be satisfied with themselves? I mean, self-satisfied.
That's their business. That's not your business.
I mean, they're trained to be, I mean, devoted. I mean, should be self-satisfied.
Yeah, but what's your problem?
We should not demand too much.
Okay. But what's your business? See, if you provide too much, then they can be satisfied. Just like if I give you half a bowl of rice, are you satisfied? I give you half a bowl of rice and one chopstick. Are you satisfied?
No.
No. So then you're supposed to be satisfied? So what's my business? Full bowl of rice and two chopsticks. Then I can expect you'll be satisfied. You understand? So if you provide for the woman one much, it's not a go. You will provide too much, that works. That make sense? So that's your job. Her job is to be satisfied. Your job is to provide the impossible. So you don't worry about her job, you worry about your job. You know what I'm saying? That's why in here, when it goes through this, in the middle go, yeah, see, she's supposed to work so hard and everything like that. But no one catches the other side. Or the guy's supposed to be sense-controlled and this and that and deal with all women like mother and everything like that. The men don't catch that one. They catch all the duties of the women. Oh, she's supposed to be like this, 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 this. But what about, but as we pointed out, is that for every masculine quality is that there's the feminine balance to that. You have the quality and you have the form and action that match it. They go together. You understand? So when that quality is there, these two are there. So she's not satisfied means the quality that generates satisfaction is not there. And the point is, are you satisfied? You've given, are you satisfied? You've given too much. Are you satisfied? No. So why will she be satisfied? If you're satisfied with giving too much, she'll be satisfied with too much. You understand? So the point is she's just following you. You're not satisfied, she's not satisfied.
Means if I'm satisfied with less, not much.
No, it's not about less. Are you satisfied with performing your duties of providing? And then she'll be satisfied in her duties of being satisfied. Because the point is satisfaction comes when there's sense control.
Yeah.
This is the match. If you don't have, to that degree you have sense control, to that degree she has satisfaction. Kardama is totally sense control. She's totally satisfied. Excuse me, satisfaction comes with sensitivity. Excuse me. Because he's totally sense controlled, his sense is complete, she's totally chaste to him. Right? And because he is totally sensitive to her nature and needs, therefore she is totally satisfied. So if you're not sensitive, she can't be satisfied. So if you're saying this is too much, then you're not sensitive. So when you are, they'll be satisfied. In other words, what is important to get? The impossible. So if the impossible is possible, then the impossible is no longer important. That's how the nature works. In other words, if you're not willing to provide it, she wants it. You're willing to provide it, then she's satisfied. Does that make sense? So it's a package. It's not, oh, well, she does this, then I can. No, it's a package. They go together. So is it?
Yeah.